Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Stephen. Great.
It's good to be back with you.
Yes, good to be back here on Sunday night studying the Word. And today we're going to talk about the Ascension, since we're kind of close. It's not exactly Ascension Day, but it was a couple of days ago,
yeah.
A few days ago. But since our show's on Sunday nights, we have to adapt. So we're going to talk about the Ascension, and we kind of, if you were listening on the last show, we were kind of leading up to it as Jesus was talking to his apostles and kind of giving them some last-minute commissioning, and then they asked their kind of usual stupid questions, and he told them to just hang out and relax and not do anything until the Holy Spirit comes, and that's going to be the show next week. So
yes,
Holy Spirit's not coming today here. Well, he is here today, but
yeah, Jesus kind of gave him the standard. Don't worry about that.
Yeah,
right now.
It's not your problem because
worried about that for again.
Yeah, so there's going to be kind of a radical change again in covenants and ministries, and Jesus has already brought them and us into the new covenant,
mm-hmm.
the covenant of grace. He's been for 40 days after the resurrection alive and showing himself in different appearances to these guys, and sometimes 500 of them at a time. And he's eaten fish with them, and he's talked with them. And last time we talked about how he was still teaching right up to the time he was going to leave.
Yes.
And which is right. Kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling them to, you're going to go out and you're going to preach the gospel. You're going to preach the kingdom. You're going to disciple people.
Baptize them.
And you're going to make disciples. Yeah. You're not going to go there like Jonah and condemn them. You're not going to go there like some of these other prophets of thus saith the Lord. And if you don't turn around, the destruction's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
It was a matter of teaching and discipling,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty neat.
Yeah.
And he tells them that just like John the Baptist had said that the Messiah was going to come and he was going to baptize people in the Holy Spirit and in fire. He says, you're going to wait here in the city until the Holy Spirit's going to come.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be ready to do your mission.
Right. And yeah, he's telling them, wait here for the promise of the Father. And even before Jesus was crucified, he told them, if I remain,
mm-hmm.
the Holy Spirit will not come.
Yeah.
So this was all part of God's plan to reconcile
mm-hmm.
all of creation back to himself.
Yes, exactly.
And you see that just how it just unfolds through this. And even in the Gospels, we read where there one time where the disciples asked the Lord, do you want us to call down fire upon them? And
yeah.
He's like, no.
That would be cool.
That would be really cool. Because we could take care of them, Lord. We could just call down fire.
We could fry these guys and that'll be it.
So you already see that there's going to be this difference in
yeah.
how the
yeah.
kingdom is going to be proclaimed.
Exactly.
And it's going to be proclaimed to be reconciled
right.
to God.
Right. And that was the good point that, we talked about last week. These guys are still thinking earthly kingdom.
Yes.
Jesus, you're going to be the king. We're going to be your cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, I'm going to be the prime minister or whatever. And this is going to be cool.
Yeah.
We get rid of the Romans. We're going to have this nice kingdom. We're going to be in charge.
Yeah.
Jesus, you can sit in the temple and sit on the throne and everything's going to be cool.
Yeah.
And this is going to be great.
Even, the one mom asked, or they said, I forget where it's at, but, can we sit one at your right and one at your left?
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
he says, well, do you know what you're asking?
You know what you're getting into?
Yeah. And he's teaching them about the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
the kingdom of God, the overall kingdom. And they're still thinking, okay, here we are. Jerusalem's the capital. Jesus is going to be king here. Are we going to do it now?
Yeah.
So even after all this talk about the kingdom, they say, are you going to restore the kingdom now?
Yeah.
Like, since you just told us all this stuff, are we doing it today?
Yeah, I mean, they're still in this. They're still in the, their understanding of it is so ingrained that this is what they're looking for.
Exactly. And Peter figures, hey, this is going to be great. I don't have to go back to the fishing. I don't have to work anymore. I can just be here and be prime minister. Or whatever. And all you guys are going to have great jobs. And, you know, we can give government jobs to our friends. And this is going to be great.
We're going to rule. You know, we're going to be done with these Romans. And that's going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So then, you know, Jesus kind of, you know, it rebukes him. Mm-hmm. Says, listen, this is not for you to know this.
Right.
It's very similar to when Peter pointed to John and said, well, what about him?
Yeah.
What's he going to do?
Yeah, don't worry about him.
Yeah, yeah.
What if I want him to remain?
Yeah, exactly.
Then they started saying he's going to live forever.
Yeah, it's like, exactly.
It's not really what he said.
Yeah. So he says, listen, all you have to do, and we're going to talk about Pentecost next week, but Jesus says, all you have to do is stay in the city until the promise of my Father comes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, when after the Holy Spirit comes on you, you're going to be clothed with power. Then you're going to be my witnesses. Then you're going to do all these things that I've commissioned you to do over the last few radio shows. Oh, no, he didn't say that. Over the last the last few radio shows that we've done. But, you know, this commissioning was then going to take a whole new turn.
Right.
But then, and of course, like we always say, it's easy for us to look back at those guys and say, man, what were they thinking? But, you know, they're experiencing it one-on-one. And then
as it's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now the most amazing thing happens that they probably weren't really thinking about, and we're going to have Stephen read a little bit about this. This is in Acts chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, and you better have a Bible somewhere in your house. We'll give you 8 seconds to go find it.
Okay.
But in Acts chapter 1, verses, if you read 9, 10, and 11, let's start with that.
Okay. When he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight. While they were looking intently at the sky as he was going, suddenly two men dressed in white garments stood beside them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking at the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will return in the same way as you have seen him going into heaven."
Yeah. That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
So
where'd he go?
Where'd he go? So it's kind of cool because remember, they're having this little discussion. He's telling them things. They ask this question. He's telling them things. And then all of a sudden he's lifted up.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, if he'd have been one of those guys standing there talking to him and then all of a sudden he starts lifting off the ground.
I think any one of us would have been there staring like,
yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
Just happened.
And it's interesting too that the book of Acts begins with this.
Yeah.
It begins with the ascension because the earthly mission that the Messiah had, the earthly mission that Jesus had is over now.
Mm-hmm.
And he is going back to where he came from. He's ascending back to the Father, ascending back to heaven.
To his glory,
mm-hmm. And which we're going to be co-heirs to, but I think we already did that show.
Amen.
But we'll repeat it again later. And so, you know, the whole ministry here that Jesus does is changing.
Yes.
Because now he's going to be at the right hand of the Father, constantly interceding. The book of Hebrews says he's the eternal high priest. It says that he is always making intercession for us with the Father.
Right.
He's always there representing us at the throne because he, in his human nature, he's also one of us. And as Messiah, he becomes the Savior. He becomes the unblemished lamb, the unblemished sacrifice. He goes through the veil, as we talked about last week.
Right.
Just like the high priest went through the veil on Yom Kippur. He goes through the veil with his own blood and is now at the throne. Not the blood on the mercy seat, but actually on the throne in heaven, making constant intercession.
Yeah.
And it also says we have a high priest who understands our weaknesses. And boy, did he understand these guys' weaknesses.
Yeah.
He was just like hanging out with them for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw and heard all kinds of stuff from them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because Jesus was tempted in every way.
Yeah.
Of earthly things,
right.
Even when he was in the desert, after he had fasted. You know, Satan himself tempted him.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know if Satan tempted him more times because it said the devil left him for a while.
Yeah.
But you see that Jesus experienced those temptations that we experience, and he was like us in every way except for sin.
Right.
And so he is the great high priest.
Amen.
And his sacrifice of his body and blood is the atonement for our sins to the Father.
Amen. Exactly right.
Yeah.
So now his, if you want to call it, I mean, there's not really words that describe this. You know, you kind of feel inadequate saying, well, now his heavenly ministry starting and his earthly ministry is over.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can only talk about these things in human terms.
Right.
Because we can't really talk about it in the terms that it really is.
I think you bring up a good point because I was talking to some friends of mine the other day and I said, you know, have you ever thought that, like, Jesus, who was before all time mm-hmm. with the Father,
mm-hmm.
then becomes man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Holy Spirit overshadows Mary, and Jesus, who was and is before all time, becomes man and now is a human being. Now, mm-hmm. you know, do we really understand that? I mean, fully, can we really fully understand that? It's really beyond our comprehension.
And it's one of those things that you hear all your life, and you mm-hmm. say, yes, 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 I believe that. Yes, yes, yeah. yes, I believe that. But if you give that even 40 seconds of thought,
yeah.
you say, whoa, how could that be possible?
Yeah. It's really,
you know, it always reminds me of, you know, you when you're a little kid, you learn, well, God loves you.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, yeah, God loves me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and God loves, you know, Jesus came, he really loved me. And, you know, we say these things almost like, oh, yeah, yeah, he loves me.
Right.
But when you think about the depth of this,
right,
what you just described in the sacrifice
mm-hmm.
and the overwhelming, you know, it's like in the song, you know, how can it be that you, my king, would die for me?
Right.
We just have to stand there. And if it doesn't leave you speechless, you just don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, that Jesus paid the price. He paid the atonement for everyone,
mm-hmm.
all their sins, past, present, and future, mm-hmm. on the cross.
That I should be paying for, because I'm the one who did them.
And that I should be paying for.
Right.
It's, you know, that's why it's just, you know, it's just God's free gift, and there's nothing we can do to earn it.
Yeah. Amen. And that's our little altar call for right now, but maybe we'll do another one later in the show.
Okay.
Because this is really, this could be no more important decision that you make in your life than whether you understand that or not.
Right.
Whether that you accept that or not, and whether you're going to follow that or not.
Right.
That's going to be way more important than where you work, what kind of house you buy, whether you get a blue car or a black car. Or,
yeah.
Which, you know, whatever
it is. 401k
exactly.
or any of that stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
It's not going to matter.
Yes. Because, you know, a billion years from now, you're not going to remember what a 401k is, but you're still going to be living somewhere.
Yeah.
One of two places.
Yes. There's an eternal destination for all of us.
Despite what you're going to hear on TV.
Yes.
But anyway.
That is true.
Now that's a whole other subject. But, you know, what really struck me when you were just reading this is this amazing event. Luke writes this because, of course, Luke is the author of the book of Acts. But it's kind of neat that he describes this event kind of just simply and calmly.
Right.
He was talking, and then all of a sudden he was lifted up.
Yes. <It's> like,
wow, wait a minute. What do you mean lifted up? I mean, he really says it in a very few words.
Yeah,
he describes
that's true.
He describes it very simply.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such an amazing event to describe in such very few words.
You know, you're right, because it's only like three sentences, and
yes.
he describes the whole thing, and it's
yes.
like, there should be,
yes,
I would think there could be a whole lot more that you can say about it.
And pretty much everything else that's in the scripture is described in a lot more words, sometimes chapters. And, you know, he writes two or three sentences, and he was lifted up, and it's pretty neat. And it's kind of cool that it happened right when he was done talking, or just as he was finishing talking. So just as these guys were saying, hey, you're going to restore the kingdom now? He says, well, listen, you know, that's not for you to know. Times and seasons by the Father. Just wait around here. And all of a sudden he starts lifting up.
Yeah.
Really makes an impression on these guys. So he's going where he was before.
Yeah, his final words to them on earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going where he was before. I mean, this was the plan of salvation from before anything was created. Mm-hmm. And, of course, since God is Trinity, everything is done in Trinity. He's mm-hmm. going back to the Father.
Right.
But he says, after I go, the Spirit's going to come. Just mm-hmm. wait right here. And in a very few days, he tells them, you know, it's not going to be 5 minutes. It's not going to be a year. It's not going to be 25 years from today. It's going to be in a very few days.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit's going to come. So we see each member of the Trinity, each personality within the Godhead is involved in this.
Yeah.
And he tells them that when the Spirit comes, and remember, they don't really get what he's talking about.
No.
I mean, we hear this and we say, oh yeah, we get what he's talking about. They don't get what he's talking about. But they were probably a little afraid to ask. Like, what does that actually mean?
Yeah, they mentioned that a few times in scripture where they said, but nobody dared ask them.
That's right. So, you know, he's this plan of salvation, which unfolds now, is going into a different phase.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the earthly time of Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth is done.
It's come to fulfillment.
The sacrifice, the resurrection. And now he's ascending back to the Father. And it says that they watch him being taken up and he vanishes,
right?
You know, in a cloud. I mean, he's right in their sight. He's standing there talking to them. And then all of a sudden he's going up into the sky. And you can't blame them for kind of staring, despite what these angels think.
It is kind of humorous what the angels say, like, men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking at the sky?
Yeah, and they say, dude, what do you think? We just saw him going up. Maybe you guys are used to that, but we're not used to that. So
this doesn't happen every day.
Yeah, that's right. And they watch till he vanishes from their sight, and then they're still staring. And that's kind of neat too. And
yeah,
you know, Jesus had told them, and they probably remembered, like he had said, you know, I have to go so that the Spirit can come.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden he was gone. and it's interesting that they saw him leave, which is kind of neat because, you know, we assume that the way that this kind of unfolded and he was teaching and they were talking with each other, I mean, they were all standing around as a group. You know, he wasn't standing way far away from them.
Right.
They could hear him talk. They were standing there as a group.
Right.
And all of a sudden, he goes.
He's being lifted up in the cloud. Yeah.
Yeah. And these guys, just no wonder they're not talking.
Yeah.
They're just staring. And it's on, you know, and it's on the Mount of Olives, which is interesting. It's just to the east of the city. And if you go there, there's a stone at the top, which tradition says is where he ascended from. There's a little Orthodox chapel that's built over it now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he had been on the Mount of Olives just before Palm Sunday. In fact, he rode into the city from the Mount of Olives. He had been in Bethany where Lazarus and his sisters lived, which was right on the side of the Mount of Olives. So he went from there right into the city to start the week of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And the passion and then the resurrection.
Oh, we're out to the break
already.
Is that
Paul? No, that's not Paul.
No, that's not Paul. Sorry,
Who is
Paul.
This? We'll let you know after the break.
Oh, this is a good song. Remember, this is Gift of Grace Ministries, giftofgraceministries.org, and look for us on Facebook. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We're here talking about the ascension and how amazed these guys were to see Jesus lifted up, vanishing into a cloud. And then they were standing there looking up, going, not saying anything.
Staring, and then they get reprimanded by these two guys.
And it happens while they're looking at him and talking, which I think is really cool. And this was done so that these disciples of his, these were his closest group of people. This isn't just like, you know, the 5,000 people that were on the, you know.
The feeding of the 5,000.
Yeah,
or something
I mean,
like that.
I mean, this is like his inner circle of people. See, they see him. They see this happen. They witness this happening. So they know that he has ascended back into heaven. They've seen it happen. In fact, they saw it happen right while they were standing there talking with him. And it's another one of the signs and wonders that confirms all the things they've been telling him, that he's been telling them. Well, I have to leave so that the Spirit will come. I have to leave. You know, you can't go where I'm going yet. And they're like, well, where are you going? Why can't we come? And, but now they see, they're kind of getting the bigger picture now. They witness it happen, witness it happening. He didn't just vanish from their sight, like the road to Emmaus and some of these other places. They actually see him going. They know that he's gone from talking to Peter to going up into a cloud. He didn't just vanish.
Right.
He didn't go to some other place and say, well, okay, I'll see you guys in a little while, and then disappear as he was walking away. He's lifted up. They knew that he had gone because they saw him go. And it kind of got their view expanded. Because like we were just saying, they were looking at earthly things. They were looking at the earthly kingdom. They were looking at, okay, there's Jerusalem over there, and we're from Galilee up there, and this is where we live, and this is the kingdom. To now, it kind of gets their view away from the earth. You know, it opens their eyes more to the glory that he has, to the kingdom, which is, you know, transcends the place where they live. So they have a much bigger view of what he was talking about by kingdom, that he wasn't just talking about this piece of real estate where they happen to be standing, because they see this amazing sign, this amazing wonder, and it happens right in front of them so that they can witness it.
Yeah.
And so they understood that they knew he wasn't going to stay on earth because, you know, he was telling them that. But they didn't really know what that meant. They wanted him to stay. But now they actually saw him leave. So now this gets into their mind. The ministry is now taking a totally different view. All this stuff he was talking about, how we're going to go preach the kingdom, we're going to go preach the gospel, we're going to baptize people in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, we're going to do all these things. Now they understand he's left. He's not going to be with them in a physical way while they're doing these things. He's not going to be walking with them. He's gone back to the glory. He's gone to the place where he's going to be interceding. He's at the throne doing the ministry of the eternal high priest, and they're still standing on the Mount of Olives. So the reason they had to see this happen was to really cement in their minds that now things were going to be different.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking back in John 16, and this is before Jesus is arrested, and before he prays to the Father. Mm-hmm. And he says in John 16, verse 5, I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to the one who sent me, and not one of you asked me, where are you going? But because I told you this, grief has filled your hearts. But I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go, for if I do not go, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world in regard to sin and righteousness and condemnation. Sin, because they do not believe in me. Righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will no longer see me. Condemnation, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. Mm-hmm. I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. Mm-hmm. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth.
Mm.
So he's really preparing them for this event.
Exactly.
And he's telling them, your hearts are filled with grief because I'm telling you that I'm gonna go and I'm not gonna be here. And that obviously shows that their love for Jesus, you know, mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. him. Because humanly, you know, we have a friend mm-hmm. and they say, well, I'm gonna be departing, I'm not gonna be with you anymore. Any one of us would be grieved. Or else it wouldn't really be our friend.
Yeah. You know? Exactly.
But he's telling them what's gonna happen, and now it's taking place.
Yeah. Exactly. Right in front of their eyes.
Right before their eyes.
Yeah. That's why I think it was important that they saw this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it's really concrete. I mean, this has really happened.
Yeah.
You know, before he vanished from their sight, he walked away. You know, he disappeared for a while, then he came back. Now they kind of know he's not going to be physically back.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah.
Well, the angels are going to tell them about that. But it's, you know, they have a totally different view now, because even though this is the same Jesus that walked with them in Galilee and that they ate with and they drank with and they talked with and, you know, they did all these things together, they know now that he's in a different place. They get this idea when he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now they say, wow, I guess so, because mm-hmm. he can just ascend back to heaven. You know, he's going back to the throne of David, where, you know, all the prophets said the Messiah is going to sit on the throne of David mm-hmm. and be the king of the universe.
Yeah.
He's not going to be just king of Israel, but he's going to sit on the throne and be king of the universe. And now they kind of understand this in a much deeper way.
Right.
And he disappears into a cloud, which is kind of neat. The clouds, you know, kind of take him from their sight. You know, the glory cloud, we learned about it, you know, if you take my Torah, of course. Yeah. You learn all about the glory cloud, the Shekinah cloud. You know, God came down in a cloud
mm-hmm.
to the Israelites,
yeah,
to Moses and to the people in the wilderness. And now he's going up into a cloud.
Yeah.
You know, came down in a cloud, now he's going up in a cloud. At the Transfiguration on Mount Tabor,
right,
there was a cloud, and the Father's voice came out of the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's pretty neat, because the glory now, you know, is above the earth where he is now.
Yeah.
He's above the earth. He's not walking around the Sea of Galilee anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to make barbecue them fish anymore.
Right.
He's not going to walk around and say, listen, you Pharisees. He's in a glory place now.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's the mediator of the covenant, he's the mediator of all this. Now, when he goes back to where he was, now the graces and the mercies and everything else that we have in this new covenant come down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Spirit's going to be, of course, the first manifestations of that. And many witnesses saw this. These guys saw this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Hebrews says we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, because these are all people that are, some are alive, some are dead. They've gone before, but they've witnessed all these things.
Yeah.
And we're surrounded by that.
Yeah. You know, as you're referencing, all these people seeing this, you know, Thomas spoke and said, Master, we don't know the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
In some sense, he was being very truthful.
Yeah.
Because he did not understand the way.
Yeah.
And even now, you know, Master, where are you going? They don't know the way. They're seeing it happen before their eyes, but they don't really know the way. And they're seeing it happen, and it's going to unfold for them over these next days. And then it's really Jesus did so much preparation for what was going to happen. You know, even as you were talking about, he's not just going to be king over Israel, he's going to be king. He's king of all creation.
Mm-hmm.
And thus he's telling them that, like we did it, you know, when we talked about John 10:10 mm-hmm. or John 10, not just specifically verse 10, but we talked about that a few shows ago, that he says there's going to be one fold
yes.
and one shepherd.
Uh-huh.
It's not just
yeah.
salvation comes through the tribe of Judah, but salvation is then for all mankind, all creation, because God wants to reconcile all of creation back to himself.
Exactly.
Not just, he chose Abraham to form a covenant and to bring about this plan of salvation.
Yeah.
But he didn't choose Abraham to exclude the rest of creation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Going to bring us into Abraham.
Going to bring us into Abraham.
We're his spiritual children.
Exactly.
And that's pretty neat, you know.
Yeah.
Galatians 3:13, it says that because Jesus became the curse, we now get the promises made to Abraham.
Right.
We as Gentiles.
And we're going to see that happen as after Pentecost. We're going to see that happen to the Gentiles, obviously.
That's going to be another show. Like and when Peter goes to Cornelius' house and the Holy Spirit falls, we should do that as a show. And then it's pretty cool.
That would be a good show.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that it says the circumcised believer said, wait a minute, how come the Holy Spirit's falling on his Gentiles? What's with that?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be for us.
Yeah.
You guys, what are you guys doing with it?
So we see that it's even the parables that Jesus would talk about, you know, the tenant landowner, the invitation to the wedding feast. You know, these people didn't come. Well, go out and get whoever's on the street. Just bring them in.
Exactly.
You know, and so Jesus is doing a lot of preparing and he's teaching them, but he says the Holy Spirit, the advocate, he's going to teach, he's going to lead you in all truth and he's going to remind you of all that I told you.
That's right.
And that's amazing.
Yeah.
That is really amazing. And I know in my own life, there's times where I haven't looked at a scripture passage and the Lord has given me something out of scripture.
Yeah.
And then I found it in scripture and it's just amazing to me.
Yes.
That, wow, this is really, this really happens.
Yeah. That's pretty neat. Yeah. Cause the Holy Spirit wrote the scripture. So he can like show you where stuff is.
Yeah.
He remembers it real well.
Yes, he does.
So, you know, we always talk on our show about how the plan of salvation unfolds through the Old Testament, that everything in the Torah, everything in the prophets points to Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. And in the book of Daniel, there's actually an interesting verse or two that kind of goes along with what we're talking about. And it's in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. And we're going to have Steve read that real quick.
Let's see
if
here.
I can find it.
If I can find it. If I can find it. Oh.
Now, remember, Daniel was in Babylon during the exile. So we're, 580 years or so before this event that we're talking about. And in chapter 7, verse 13.
Coming up to it. Chapter 7, verse 13. Okay. As the visions during the night continued, I saw coming with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man. When he reached the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, he received dominion, splendor, and kingship. All nations, peoples, and tongues will serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away. His kingship, one that shall not be destroyed.
Hmm. Isn't that something what we were just talking about? The sole account of the ascension?
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about Jesus ascending, going back to the Father. And Daniel writes 580 years or so before this, he sees one like the Son of Man. You know, that term Son of Man is very powerful and is one of the main ways that Jesus referred to himself. He called himself Son of Man pretty often through all the Gospels. But he sees one like the Son of Man in the clouds, and he's presented to the Ancient of Days. And then all dominion is given to him. So, you know, this is exactly what's happened. Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua, was a Son of Man. Mm-hmm. He was born of Mary, born of a woman, born under the law, as it says in the prophecies. He grows up as a human being. He also has the God nature as second person of the Trinity. He obeys the Father as the second Adam. He is sacrificed for the sin of the world, rises from the dead. Now he goes back in a cloud to the Ancient of Days, which in this case, of course, means the Father, and all the dominion's given to him because he's obeyed. He's done what he's supposed to do. And now he has dominion over the whole universe.
Yeah.
And that was the prophet Daniel, 500 and some years before this happened.
Yeah.
So don't tell me studying the Old Testament is boring.
Okay. Well,
I don't say that.
Now, it's very important that we do study the Old Testament because I know that, you know, from me personally taking your Torah course.
Did you get it? I think you got an A.
I would hope so.
Or else you wouldn't be allowed to be on the radio show.
Exactly. And I wrote my own papers. I did my own studying.
The five books on Moses.
Exactly. So, it really shows us, when we understand the Old Testament, we see the fulfillment of what was written, what was prophesied.
Yes.
And then we understand that when Jesus comes, and he says, I have not come to abolish the law, I've come to fulfill it.
Then it really hits you.
It really hits you that, wow, this is the fulfillment of all, you know, the first Exodus.
Yeah.
The Passover to the Passover that Yeshua celebrated.
Yeah.
To the new covenant in his own blood that he ratifies with his own blood. And it all comes together. And you see how God just unfolded this plan of salvation, of reconciling creation back to himself.
Yes.
In a way that we wouldn't
exactly
think of.
Exactly.
And we just stand in awe of it and go, wow, this is just, it's God's sovereignty over creation is just, you know, it's just awesome. Like you said, if you think about this for more than 40 seconds, it leaves you speechless.
Yeah, exactly. Which is the only reaction you should be able to. And it's true. I mean, you really described this well because, if you study the Tanakh, the whole Tanakh, which is the Old Testament, the Torah, the prophecies, you know, starting the Torah is the five books of Moses, then when you see the prefigurement of this, then when you read the Gospels, then when you read the Acts, then you really get this. Mm-hmm. Now, these guys may have been walking away going, hey, didn't I read something in Daniel about the Son of Man being in the clouds? And, you know, that we don't know. And, you know, they didn't know what to do because they kept staring.
Yeah.
And, this is...
And there was a shofar blast.
There was a shofar blast. And then they walked down the mountain, and that's the end of the story. No.
And then there was a Paul Wilbur concert.
We're going to talk about these two guys in white first, but first we have to take a break. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org. You can see the outline of the Torah course. Be right back.
Just be glad. Yes, let them rejoice with gladness. God has triumphed mightily. Let God arise. Let God arise. Arise. Let God arise. Let God arise. Let his enemies be
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. I can't believe this is the last segment.
That's an awesome song.
It is an awesome song. And next thing you know, it'll be next week.
I know.
But anyway, we've got probably...
Not many days hence.
Not many days hence. I think it's 7 days, isn't it? Anyway.
Nine?
So here's these guys, you know, the prophecy of Daniel's been fulfilled. They're standing there staring. They don't know what's happened. They don't know what to expect. Huh? It's like, are the heavens going to open up now? Is kingdom going to be established now? Where did he go?
Yeah.
I can't believe he actually left. I don't think he's coming back. All these things are going through his mind. And then all of a sudden, it says that there's two men dressed in white. Now, these guys are angels. We don't know what their names are, but, you know, they're angels.
Yeah.
And interestingly, Jesus has been gone about 48 seconds, and he's already sent someone to minister to these guys.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. I mean, they're standing there gawking up at the heavens going, what in the world just happened?
Uh-oh, they're staring.
All of a sudden, yeah, that's right. He's already sent two witnesses. You know, remember in the law, in the Torah, it says everything's based on two or three witnesses. So two witnesses, the two angels come.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this really confirms to them, I mean, it doesn't say how they reacted to these angels, but this really confirms to them that there's a real world, wherever it is Jesus just went, that's different from this world.
Yes.
He had gone there. These angels came from there. And this is really now a transition to something new.
Yeah.
They were going to experience Jesus in a different way. They were going to experience their ministry in a very different way. And things were going to be different now.
And the way that they addressed the disciples, men of Galilee, they tell them who they are.
Exactly.
Why are you standing there looking at the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will return in the same way as you have seen him going into heaven.
Uh-huh.
I mean, yeah. They address it very specifically. Yeah. And like you said, it's a real confirmation of wherever he went.
Yeah.
These two guys are from.
They're from. That's right. And I think it's, you know, like, I think it's neat that you just mentioned him. He calls them men of Galilee.
Yeah.
They call them men of Galilee. They didn't call them by name and say, hey, you guys, they're men of Galilee. So it kind of reminds them who they are, mm-hmm. what their origin is.
Yeah.
You know, the people in Galilee were simple people. Mm-hmm. They were hardworking people. You know, they worked in the land. They worked in fishing. They were kind of like salt of the earth types. Mm-hmm. They worked hard. They were uneducated. They were like what we would call common people, backwoods people.
Right.
And the angel says, hey, you guys, that's who you guys are, but now you guys are going to be the key to this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, stop looking up and you guys got to get ready to work now.
Yeah.
You can't, there's no time now to stand around staring at the sky.
And it's interesting that the next phrase is, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which was near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away.
Yeah.
So he goes from what these two angels are saying to, and then they returned.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
And interestingly, too, when Jesus was born, angels announced it.
Yes.
Now he's left, angels announce it.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell him, you guys now, you can stop staring at the sky. This is done now. The earthly time is done. Now you got to get to work. So then they tell him he's going to come back the same way you saw him go.
Yeah.
So this is another prophecy, another mention of the second coming.
Mm-hmm.
So as they saw his earthly body rising up from the top of the Mount of Olives, he's going to come back the same way.
Yeah.
And this time, everybody's going to see him, and he's going to appear in glory, and there's going to be judgment. It's going to be the same body. He's going to have the very same body, but it's going to be a totally different appearance, because now he's not going to be the suffering servant. He's going to be the king and judge of the universe.
Now he's going to come back the way that they expected him to be
exactly.
the first time.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're going to know that it's going to, that it's the same Jesus, not mm-hmm. somebody different.
Right.
Well, they already know that because they're already in heaven.
Yes.
But everyone who's here at the time, and, you know, we don't know if it's going to be next week or next year or 50 years from now or 100 years from now, everyone's going to know who it is. No one's going to say, who's that?
Right.
Everyone's going to know. And interestingly, it says, you know, he's going to come in the clouds. Well, something reminds me of a song. I know. Days of Elijah.
Days of
That's how we start the show.
Elijah. Yeah, that's where anyway, I've heard that before.
He's going to come in a cloud with angels. And we're also going to be caught up in the clouds to meet him in the air. I mean, there's clouds of glory. And this, you know, Paul says we're supposed to encourage each other with this.
Yes.
This should encourage us and comfort us.
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter what's going on now, like we're sitting here doing a radio show, which is fun. But someday we're going to be in clouds of glory with him.
Yeah.
You know, you may be going through a horrible thing right now at a hospital or a funeral home or at your job or who knows what. But these words should encourage you that there's going to be clouds of glory that you're going to be caught up in. And then yeah. all this is going to kind of disappear, just like he was caught up. And this all happened on the Mount of Olives that day. So these guys, now this kind of crystallized in their mind, all the things he was talking about.
Yeah. I think it's a real good example of how I think sometimes that even we can take our, can make our own plans.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of envision the future how we want it to be. And then when it doesn't materialize that way or it doesn't happen that way, or, you know, maybe like in my own life, the Lord grabbed a hold of me and put mm-hmm. me back on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what I was, you know, what was going to happen. And I still don't.
Yeah.
You know, it just, I follow the Lord and the Lord's plan unfolds, and we have to be open to what God wants us to do.
Right. Did you see the two guys dressed in white?
I saw one guy dressed in white.
One guy dressed in white.
I did see one guy dressed in white.
That's a good story. Anyway, so now they knew they had work to do, and they probably, like, hurried up off the mountain. You know, it was a Sabbath day journey. Now, you know, on the Sabbath, the Shabbat, you're not supposed to do any work.
Right.
This is the seventh day, the day of rest. But as tradition went on, they realized it wasn't practical. People still had to walk somewhere. So they made this Sabbath day journey concept where you were allowed to walk a certain distance. And yeah, it's felt to be like between a half and three quarters of a mile. Some people say it was 1,000 paces.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, these were all kind of traditional things.
Right.
So if you walked 999 paces, you were okay. But if you walked 1,001, then you had violated the law. So, you know, I don't want to talk about legalism now, but it's a Sabbath day journey.
Yeah.
And if you've been there, you walk down the side of the Mount of Olives, you go across this little valley where there's a whole bunch of roads now, and you're inside the city. I mean, mm-hmm. it's very close. It's, you could probably walk it in 5 minutes.
Okay.
If you walk at a pretty good clip. And they went from there to the upper room. Upper room. That brings us to next week's show.
That was a good lead in.
Well, I can't believe this show's over already.
Good exit.
Wow.
Good exit.
Well, I hope you've had a great Lord's Day today, and hope you've been thinking about the Ascension, and we'll be back with you next week.
And we just want to encourage you to remain steadfast in the Lord's Word, and we will see you back here in the Gift of Grace next week. God bless everyone. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.